Ian Cameron joins us. Ian, according to the Bellevue, from what Christopher Cordero says, the school can actually allow abortions for children who are as young as 12 years old without referring anything to the parents. Yo, that seems like something slipped through there.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. It's, I don't even know what to say about it. It's they'll actually force people not to abide by the law. That's what they, in essence, are going to do.
Well, let's hope that we will get more response from the other side of the Bellevue. The ANC has been notable by its absence in commenting on some of those controversial terms, but it does appear as though common sense will come through eventually. It certainly has in your case, Ian. You've been banging the drum about an audit of the top level of the South African police services. I remember some of our conversations when you said there are hundreds, literally hundreds of generals who've been deployed by the ANC, cadres deployed into the police services. They don't know much about policing, and this is being reflected in the high crime rate and others in South Africa. How exactly did this skills audit get through Parliament, given that there are a lot of deployed cadres who are going to be pretty upset about this?
Yeah, it was actually not difficult. It was a suggestion that was made in the Police Portfolio Committee after the budget review process, or during those reports that were being done. And it actually stemmed out of a suggestion that came from the Auditor General and from the South African Police Service. And the South African Police Service management launched a process to do skills audits and a bit of a upskilling process for station commanders, and to make sure that record keeping and reporting is improved. And it was actually a flaw that was found by the Auditor General, that there's a big problem or a gap in terms of feedback and communication from station levels. And we then said, but wait a minute, the stations aren't the critical problems. Every time we go to the stations, it's clear to us that the major crisis is at the top. So if you're not led properly, there's no use in doing courses at the bottom, but the top structure is not adequate. And that's when the suggestion came in with the portfolio committee, and it was phenomenal. I mean, there was no party whatsoever that objected to that specific point, and the report was adopted through the committee, so I assume it will be adopted in Parliament over the next 2 weeks.
What does it mean?
Well, it basically means, and the suggestion is that we look at that we can start with the top 50 in the South African Police Service. We've got quite far over 200 generals at the moment, which in my opinion is way, way, way too bloated, especially in a police service that cannot afford that amount of generals. But we've got we have to start there and determine who is there due to merit and who is there due to political affiliation or other reasons. And if it is any of the latter two, then they need to go. And we need to make sure that we restructure SAPS accordingly. And I think it is a very uncomfortable discussion. I know it's a very uncomfortable discussion. It's something that we've mentioned time and again in the portfolio committee as well. And it keeps on being followed by a very awkward silence. But be that as it may, I believe it's something so important to go for. And also, Alec, you know, there's no use in sticking a plaster on a wound that needs surgery. And if we're doing courses on ground level, we'll keep on hearing answers from certain senior managers in SAPS that tell me that, you know, it's due to a resource shortage. And then I say, ladies and gentlemen, it's not because of a resource shortage. Yes, that is an issue. But that's not the main problem with SAPS. The main problem in South African Police Service is a leadership issue. And from that stems issues regarding integrity and regarding corruption and so on and so forth. And if we solve that, then the rest will start to fall in place.
Now, you have allegations that you defamed the Overstrand General because you said she was not qualified. Where's that court action gone?
No, nowhere. I mean, she opened a criminal injuria case against me because I blew the whistle on her appointment and never heard anything again. It's something, she is also on the list for appointments that need to be followed up. We started with other promotions and appointments by referring some of them to the Public Service Commission for investigation there. to determine whether they are adequate for the position or not. And Major General Mushilogi is certainly one of the next ones. The big thing is, I mean, let me just remind everyone, I mean, she entered the police about 14 years ago, 13 years ago, and she's already a major general, zero police experience. She came in an administrative position, and now she's an operational position, not even from the Western Cape, and she has to run probably what is known as the abalone capital of South Africa. She certainly doesn't have the skills or the background to do that. There's no way that she even understands organized crime on the level that she needs to combat this. And she can open all the criminal and jury cases she likes. The fact of the matter is we need people that are fit for purpose.
Are there many like her in the police service?
Unfortunately, there are quite a few. But what's encouraging to me that there are a lot of people that have hung on and that really keep on working so hard despite difficult circumstances. And that's really encouraging to me. Unfortunately, we do have more of those types of appointments. But it's interesting, Alec, over the last few months, and I don't know if it's because it must be because of the GNU dynamic, it seems like a lot of the rotten apples are being exposed quite quickly. You would have noted on Sunday, there was an article in the front page of Sunday Times regarding two generals having a go at each other. And I'm going to leave my opinion on the side for now, but there are question marks regarding both, especially the one pretending to be the innocent one. A lot of question marks about previous doings with that person, and that makes it it's starting to show me that the uncomfortable questions, the pressure from the police minister seems to be resulting in discomfort, and that's very good. We need them to be uncomfortable. We need them to start moving, and hopefully we can start squeezing them out of the police.
Do the skills exist to run the police properly within either the police service or outside? And I mean that from a South African point of view, or are we going to have to start importing a whole lot of top policemen?
No, they definitely do exist. I think we've got all the existing skills in South Africa. We have got such a wealth of knowledge. It's always fantastic for me to speak to, whether it's in the private sector or in the police, and just see how incredibly knowledgeable we are to combat certain things. So again, it comes back to the leadership issue, because we can stop almost anything we want to. We can curb organized crime. If we take hands with the private sector in a sensible way, there's so much more that we could do to fast track our progress in developing a more advanced police service. And we can do all of those things. I think also what's important, Alec, and I've noted criticism, and some of the criticism might be good for a note in terms of police acting more harshly, the shootings that have been happening over the last few months. But I must also say with that, you know, if you go and compare the amount of shoots and the proactive operations being done by the police compared to just arrests, it's a minimal amount of people that are being fatally wounded. And then also, you know, everyone complains the police are doing nothing. Now when they go and take on serious organized crime syndicates and they get shot at, you cannot expect them to ask the robber to have coffee with them. I think the critical part is to make sure that you've got all the checks and balances in place to make sure that nothing or no one is executed. And I say it bluntly because that's the perception that is created by certain parts in the media. And I think it's important, though, that we also support the police that make this very brave and, you know, courageous step forward to say, but we are going to fight back. And the boost in morale in certain parts of the police so far, it's, again, so encouraging. And it's something that I believe that we can build on. And obviously, again, checks and balances must be in place. But we need to cherish the good cops that we have. And luckily, we still have quite a few.
And we need to cherish the good politicians that we have, like Ian Cameron.